Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Tiny Shutter Podcast. We are all iPhone photography all the time for iPhone photographers by iPhone photographers. My name is Keith Tharp.
I'm Mark Sadowski.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
And we are back from a nice vacation down in Cancun.
Vancouver, yeah.
Vancouver.
All the way tucked down there.
Was that just me that went?
What's that?
I can hear you. I said we are back from Cancun. You guys went over your heads, I guess.
No, we got that. But we thought the Vancouver part was funnier.
Oh. Because nobody goes there for vacation.
I did once.
Really?
Yeah,
well, there's a podcast all in itself right there.
There you go. We'll save that for the other one.
All right. So anyway, light news week. We can touch briefly on Vine. I didn't do any research on it, but it looks pretty interesting. It's getting a lot of traction. It seems like it's getting some really good organic traction rather than the usual fake tech traction that usually comes around. You know what I mean? People seem to be latching onto it. I haven't downloaded it yet. Anybody here?
I got it.
No.
So what do you think?
Well, first of all, our fill-in Matt Hoffman, how's it going, Joe, by the way, Joe Ferreira. You actually posted something on Facebook that seemed pretty cool, the difference between Instagram and Vine. So why don't you go into that real quick?
Yes. Let me pull that up. What happened was I was looking through because I heard the news about Vine and how they got yanked, and then I was like, I got to check this out. So I was looking through the news articles, and I pulled up the Petapixel, and they had it looks like an animated GIF of the difference between Instagram and Vine, and I didn't pay attention really until after I read it, and when I looked back, it was two plates of sushi. One was stagnant, and the other one was showing how the pieces of sushi were being removed as it was going along. And so pretty much I think they were making a little comment about instead of it just being food.
It was here's a picture of my food, and here's a 6-second video of my food. So yeah. Instagram is a picture of my food, and Vine is a 6-second video of my food or something like that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. I think I have no use for it. I mean, it's interesting, but it gets boring pretty quickly.
Have we talked yet about Snapchat?
No.
So Vine isn't the same, and I don't mean to draw that parallel, but Snapchat is an interesting thing to me. But Snapchat is this sort of instant messaging system where you can either take a picture of yourself or a short video of yourself and you send it to a friend.
Yes, I heard of this.
And your friend has a particular amount of time that they're capable of watching the video or seeing the picture. And then once that time's gone, the picture disappears, never to be seen again.
Right. And if somebody takes a screen cap.
If it doesn't allow you to take a screen cap, and if you try to take a screen cap, the person on the other side gets a notification that you tried to screen cap it, which is worthless anyway. And then I guess apparently some news broke a while back that you can actually dig deeper into your iPhone's memory or whatnot and come and resolve or get those images back after a certain period or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's a really big among teenagers.
Yeah, well, my kids are screwing around with it. It's the thing I wanted to bring up about it was we talk occasionally about the social aspect of Instagram and how it's not necessarily just about photography. It's sometimes has more of a social hook than anything else for some people.
Right.
And it's not that way for me. I don't know what Instagram is for me anymore. But for some people, they view it as a mere social kind of thing. This Snapchat really, really takes that to the next level by placing a kind of longevity on these things, a very short, longevity isn't the word, but a very short lifespan on these things. You can, and the person taking the picture can choose. It's either 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then once that's gone, it's gone. So it even kind of, amplifies the social aspect of this whole thing, this photography mobile medium kind of thing, I guess. I just thought it was interesting and worth talking about, and how, you know, I'm one of these people that feels like photography's in a weird kind of place where it's just so prevalent that the average picture, it really kind of has lost that kind of thing, you know. I mean, somebody who goes out and really, 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 really bust their butt as hard as they can to make an amazing image, it's only got so much draw because there's just so much of it out there, you know what I mean?
I totally hear you.
So, and this just kind of takes that to the next level.
There's an interesting podcast called On Being. It's kind of like I don't want to say new age thing, but I listen to it. one of the guests, he's a motivational speaker, very down-to-earth guy, not kind of like the weird people.
Not Tony Robbins. I like Tony Robbins, actually.
But he was basically saying that the structure of our world is entirely changing, and we're to the point where everybody is now an artist. Everybody is now their own creative director. Basically, anybody and everybody has the ability to do literally anything. And I mean, that was just the gist of it. There's so much more that I'm not even touching on, but
right.
It is true. Everybody is their own artist now. Anybody can now become known for anything.
That's
definitely
a flagrant. I'm sorry. Watching the Celtics game again. Barbosa just clotheslined somebody and knocked him down in the paint. It was crazy. All right. Anyway, sorry.
But, I mean, look at somebody like Josh Johnson. Somebody who wouldn't typically be known for photography is now known for photography.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and nothing against Josh, because he's got some really great images, but I don't think that he's known so much for photography as much as he is for his community structure. He built a giant community around Instagram. It's not so much about his photography as much as his community management.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's much more about that. But anyway. Hey, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring up a couple things. First of all, Matt, if you're listening, I'm really, really starting to get a little self-conscious about this. Like, I'm on the show, you're not on the show. I'm not on the show, you're on the show. So I really feel like this might have
I'm beginning
to
wonder if you guys are the same person.
I could be his alter ego.
Alter ego, and you're just tired of doing the ventriloquist act. So you're just giving your voice a rest.
Yeah, I guess it could be like that. And what else am I going to do? I'm going to go here. I wanted to also mention, that for those of you listening that are trying to find your show notes from last week, that at the end of the episode last week, Mark promised, literally used those words, I promise that I will put the show notes up. And he hasn't done that yet, and I'm not going to fix his problem. He'll have to do that.
Yeah, I'll do that. Fortunately, I never said when I would put up the show notes.
I feel bad for Jeffrey, whose image was chosen for the post pick of the week last week, and he's actually commented on last week's post saying, wow, thanks for featuring my photo, only his photo's not there. Poor guy. That's on you, Mark.
It is. I promise I will fix that.
So I actually just today listened to last week's episode. I wanted to touch on the very first comment on last week's post, which was from a guy named Zach. And Zach touched on, he's been listening to our podcast for a while. Let me read it real quick. After listening to you spend a fair amount of time discussing how you want full manual control on the iPhone camera, I feel important to mention something that all of you failed to bring up. So he's mentioning that he basically goes into explanation about the fact that there's not going to be full manual control because it's a fixed 2.4 aperture or 2.8 if you're on an older iPhone, mm-hmm. and that the mechanism that would essentially be required to facilitate a manual or a closing and opening diaphragm shutter would be too much, and we're in a situation where the iPhone is getting thinner and thinner by the day, and this to have the mechanism to make a shutter that could aperture that could open and close would require extra thickness.
Right.
When I commented back to you, Zach, I hadn't listened to the podcast, so I'm sorry. You guys definitely, clearly last week, definitely kind of hinted on the fact that you'd like to be able to change the aperture size. You didn't really come right out and say it, but it definitely led people to believe that you wanted to be able to have an aperture that you can change.
Let me clarify that. I mean, we've talked about in previous podcasts.
Definitely have.
Yeah,
and that's what I said in my comment back to him is that we have talked about it before, and we're well aware of the fact that it is a fixed aperture, and that that's not going to change. And what we want in full manual is to be able to decide whether we want shutter speed or ISO,
exactly,
and how we want to use those things.
Let me also add that I still want to be able to change the aperture. I know I'm not going to get it.
Well, but
it's a wishful thinking thing.
So let's go ahead and have a brief discussion. I don't want to get too deep into it, but
yeah,
you guys mentioned wishing that you could have an aperture adjustment so that you could, and the way you talked about it last week was in talking about it in being able to deal with your depth of field.
Yeah.
You're not going to get an aperture much bigger than 2.4 or maybe an F2 or something that's going to do anything. I mean, to be able to kind of simulate any kind or to create any kind of depth of field, you're going to have to go to like a 0.95 aperture. That's even still only going to get you so much.
Right.
Because the sensor is so small, you know, the lens on the iPhone is like a 4mm.
Yep.
The only way I've been able to get any type of a depth of field is if that subject that is in focus is very close to the camera.
Or macro.
And not even macro, but very close to where it needs to focus. Say if it's a person's eye, where you're seeing like half their face, and then the background ends up dropping off, the focus ends up dropping off from that. I've been able to do that.
Sure.
But yeah, what you're talking about of being able to, you know, take a subject that's 10 feet away from you and have the background go off, that won't happen.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to be able to adjust the ISO, because you can see that thing, especially with Pure and with 645, if it's truly what the ISO is, it jumps up and down depending on the scene that you're choosing.
Well, right. I mean, if you have the adjustments there, you can also take notice next time you're screwing around with it. You can take notice that the iPhone, and this is kind of what I led into with my discussion or my reply to Zach, is the iPhone. It's in Apple's best interest to always default to the lowest possible ISO that it can, it's going to go to a slower shutter speed. And then once it has to bump the ISO, it will. But it'll go down to, I think it goes down to 1/15th of a second. I believe it's 1/15th of a second. It's either 1/30th or 1/15th of a second before it will start to screw around with the ISO. It'll drop down to its lowest ISO. I mean, its lowest shutter speed before it starts bumping up the ISO. And the reason for that is because the average person who's using the iPhone is going to take a picture, and if they see something that's got a ramped up shutter speed and a higher ISO, they're going to see a crappy picture, and they don't want to see that.
Yeah.
So people who like us who feel like we want to have that level of control, we're in such a small minority that it doesn't even matter. And I think that and like kind of Zach alludes to here is we're such a small minority that to ask Apple to first of all start developing just for us is kind of silly, but then also to abandon that one thing that they're thinking about, which is we need to produce the best looking image, whether or not it is or isn't. We need to make it seem as though it's the best possible image so that the mass majority of people that are snapping pictures with this thing are happy with them.
Right.
I have one thing to say. Where is that Will I Am camera?
Well, I saw today. I didn't grab the article on it, but I saw today that somebody's got another mock-up of an iOS based product with a lens on it. So, and actually, it's kind of a goofy looking mock-up that looks like it was made out of an iPhone 4 or something. But I just wanted to touch on that the equivalent on the iPhone lens is like a 35 millimeter lens, and you have such a crop factor and such a wide lens that you have this giant depth of field. I mean, you, I don't think you would be able to get an aperture wide enough to get any kind of shallow depth of field. And at that point, you're going to sacrifice clarity in an effort to try and get. And at that point, you might as well do it in software anyway, right?
Right.
Exactly.
So I wanted to touch on that and let Zach know that I am extremely excited that you commented, and I wished I had listened to the episode before I commented back, but thanks for commenting. Thanks everybody for commenting on last week's episode. We got tons of comments, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and it's stuff that we were aware of. I mean, I think part of it was that, you know, we had our wish list of like what we would love the future to be.
Right.
For our device. I mean, I want to photograph waterfalls. I think that's what I was coming down to. So control the shutter speed would be awesome.
Well, and I mean, yeah. So that's understandable.
Yeah.
And that's basically what I said to Mike from Jagger, is that I would love to be able to say, you know, like doing sports photography, I would love to be able to say, I'd like to sacrifice the noise so that I can get a faster shutter speed. I don't want 1/15th of a second at ISO 200 or whatever the hell it gives it to me at. I would rather have, you know, 1/800 or ISO 800 and a faster shutter speed. I'd like to be able to make that decision.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, I'm in the vast minority of people. So anyway, I was going to chat real quickly about my experience in Mexico with Pure.
Definitely want to hear this.
Loving this app, like beyond reason. I am totally loving this app. And I heard you guys briefly talk about it last week. I think, you know, I don't use Camera Plus. I think it was you, Mark, that mentioned that Camera Plus has some similar type of stuff on it. I think it's just the simplicity of PureShot that has me going, the ease of use and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's the only camera app, or the only capture device anyway, that I use now, unless I'm doing something specific, and I'm glad that I was able to contribute to it. But anyway, I did a you know those things I do for the appwhisper.com, the mobile shorts. I did one of those this week for the appwhisper.com, and I figured I'd share it here too, since it's such a quick tip.
Mm-hmm.
Using PureShot, and I think you could probably do this with 645 Pro, though I haven't used it in eons. You know, Matt's a big HDR guy, right?
Yep.
And I had got this scene out over the ocean in Cancun, and I wanted to do an HDR. So I opened up the native camera app and shot an HDR with the native camera app.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided I'd go ahead and I'd capture two exposures on my own and then stick them together in HDR Pro, right?
Yep.
And so I went back into Pure. And so here's the tip. Basically, you get out there and you put your exposure reticle where you want your darker exposure to be, and then you hold your you leave it there, and then you hold your finger over the lens just enough to start to get the exposure to brighten up, and then as soon as you get the exposure to brighten up to where you want it, click the exposure lock button. Now you move your finger, you compose, and that reticle should be where you want it for the second exposure. You tap the shutter button, and then right next to the shutter button is the exposure lock button. You tap the exposure lock button, it unlocks, re-exposes for the area you wanted it for. You tap it again, and you can do this, these three taps, basically, fairly quickly, but also with very, very, very little movement. So it's basically a quick tip to catch two exposures for an HDR without a tripod,
you know. That's brilliant.
Doing it handheld. So I thought that was cool.
Nice.
I think that's really it. I mean, I didn't really do too much exciting stuff. I did, they had, for our last night there, we had a little going away party, and they had, these fire dancers, you know,
yeah.
People that, you know, they weren't swallowing any fire, but they were doing batons that are flaming batons and these flaming sticks and crap and just going nuts with these flames. So my first inclination was to get a video of it. So they did a couple different segments. In the first segment, I grabbed video of, and then I wanted to grab some stills. So I did that as well. And then I wanted to start screwing around. So,
so I joined in.
So I grabbed my lighter fluid.
It's Cancun. It's legal.
This is nothing that PureShot has over, you know, there's plenty of apps that have this, but the night mode where you can get this, where you can get this thing to knock itself down to 1 second of shutter speed, which is nice. And I think I mentioned this either in our last talk or maybe it was on my mobile short with the App Whisperer, but, this is a good idea. If you have a stable base to put your phone on, it's better to activate that night mode and take a slower shutter speed, because when you do that, it in turn knocks the ISO down for you. So you'll get a slower shutter speed and you'll get a lower ISO, which gives you a cleaner picture, obviously, right? Instead of having this thing ramp up to 1600 for ISO, which is if you enable the high ISO, you can have it go the other way, which is nice. Yeah. But anyway, so I chose to try and get myself some slow shutter stuff of the flames. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of tricked the exposure here and there, and I enabled the night mode, and it was cool. I mean, the guy, it was a guy and a girl combo team. They were moving so fast that, you know, not only did I get the blur on the flames, but their faces were kind of blurry. I get precious few shots, and that's always the way it is with slow shutter. Your ratio goes way down.
Yeah.
I got precious few shots where their faces weren't horribly blurry as well, but it's just fun to play with. It's just using this app over something like the native camera app or something like that just really kind of helps you bump up your level of creativity. That was a friggin' great steel bass. Nice. We're kicking butt tonight, man.
That is awesome.
Dominating here. So anyway, that's it. I love the PureShot app. I wanted to share that that little handheld HDR tip, and we've talked it to death, and I won't sit here and try and be a poster boy for PureShot, but it's a great app. If you haven't tried it out, you should do so. Do we still have codes left for that? I think we do.
I think we might, and I think you're getting your poster in the next week or so.
Big picture of me with an orange button.
That'd be awesome.
So anyway,
I have something to do with Photoshop tonight.
Do you guys have any quick tips you'd like to add before we move to post pick of the week?
I don't have any tips whatsoever.
Joe?
Now, this isn't the focus point.
Second. This is not your focus point. This is just something to add before we get to the post pick of the week.
Nope, let's go to the post pick of the week.
I got nothing, he says. I don't think we've ever chosen this particular artist, but if we had, I'm sorry that we're duplicating, but at some point we're going to duplicate anyway. And you know what? This is really a cool picture, and it really kind of gets me excited about grabbing my Olaclip and doing some work out in nature. This is the picture I've chosen this week was uploaded 4 days ago. And the username is BreadGeek, which is pretty cool. I don't know what that means.
He's been doing some awesome stuff.
Yeah. Very, very attractive stuff. And this particular shot I chose, I mean, he's got a lot of great stuff. Very, very, very interesting stuff. The particular shot that I chose is a very, very close-up, it's a macro, of ice crystals. And I know we've done ice crystals before with one of the other artists, but this is really cool. It's just the lines, and I sit here and stare at it and try and figure out where they were forming. And I mean, there's kind of shapes look like trees and leaves, and I love it. I sat here and stared at it while I was trying to figure out what my post pick of the week was going to be. I found myself staring at this, remembering I was supposed to be looking at pictures, and I'm like, well, why don't I just pick this one? Because I really, really like it. So
I actually thought this was ferns to begin. I didn't think it was actual ice crystals.
Neat though, right?
It's awesome.
Yeah. So so thank you very much. And his name is actually Jeffrey. Thank you very much, sir. And you are this week's Tiny Shutter post pick of the week. And I, for episode 42, will definitely deal with show notes and getting your picture posted up there and everything. And
nice. Red Geek got two weeks in a row.
Did he?
Through you, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, 2 weeks in a row, that's not fair. But hey.
That speaks volumes.
Yeah.
He has kick-ass facial hair.
It's not the same picture, is it?
No.
No.
I would be able to tell you if it was the same picture had his picture been posted up on the website. Yeah.
Actually, just go down two rows and you'll find the picture.
What was the picture?
It was, the portrait.
It's called,
of the girl or the boy?
Boy.
Oh, that's awesome. My most patient subject?
Yes.
That's a great picture. Well, Jeffrey, there you go. Two in a row. That's got to count for something. I mean, we should probably throw him a party or something. Congratulations, and most of all, thank you very much for sharing. And also, everybody else, remember, the way to do it is to hashtag your photos, Tiny Shutter. And that's on Instagram, or technically speaking, on Twitter, because Mark, I'm sure, is very diligently checking Twitter. And you can also toss them up on Facebook. We have chosen from Facebook before as well. Mm-hmm. So hashtag Tiny Shutter, and we will move on to this week's focus points. Who wants to go first?
I will go first. Mine's quick and easy. So I was at CVS looking for stuff, and I came across this little device. Everybody's seen the iHome stuff. They have their alarm clocks. They have the, you know, speakers and stuff. This is a portable speaker that I couldn't resist trying on my iPhone. Anybody who's viewing on the video stream can see that it looks like the Android Android thing with iHome written all over its belly button. So I wanted to see if attaching this to the iPhone would divide by zero and the world would end. it did not. So it was interesting. But it is a really good speaker. I got to say, if you ever need a speaker, this little guy was pretty good. It was only $20. When you turn him on, here, let me turn him on. His eyes start glowing blue. And then the funny thing is when he has a USB connection. So when you want to charge him, his eyes change different color. So when I attached him to my Mac, his eyes started glowing red. I'm like, oh, he doesn't like that. And so as you can see, the stuff is right here in his butt. The charge plug. So I literally stuck the Mac up his butt.
Video.
And he didn't like that. I'm like, yeah, who's your daddy? Not Google.
So, awesome.
That's all I got this week.
All right, Joe.
All right. There was somebody not with our groups, but somebody had posted about a new app called 36 Exposure. And I was like, I thought I remember somebody talking about it before. And I sort of looked around the app store. And what this is it's a very simple app. You cannot separate the reticles for doing exposure and focus. So only thing you can do is, you know, choose a exposure by pressing on the screen and locking in the exposure. But it's very simple. As far as I know, it only takes color. I don't think it's black and white, but it will not allow you to view the images that you shot until the roll of 36 has been used up, and then you have to develop it. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Somebody's like,
I hope it's free.
No, it was $1.99.
That's not too bad.
But I'm hoping that they come out with like different film qualities and stuff like that.
Do you have to pay each time to develop your photos now, and see them?
I haven't gotten through to see if that's the case, because that was one of the things that I was wondering is like, okay, if I'm done with this roll, do I have to pay another $1.99 for another roll? Because if not, this is going to be the only roll that I use.
I would love that. I hope you do.
Hipstamatic tried this.
I hope that's... Yeah, Hipstamatic did try that with disposable camera. They did literally the exact same thing, except you only got a certain amount of pictures, and then you had to buy the opportunity to get some more. It was like... Yeah. Didn't we just move out of that?
Yes. Well, and like I said, I looked and looked and did not see anything that said that. Now it could be like sucker, but I'm going to, once it's done, I'm going to try it again and then go from there. But I think this is a really cool app, especially if you're going to do like photo walks and you want to give yourself a challenge.
Yep.
Instead of just going and just, you know, taking a whole bunch of pictures and then looking, you know, my goal is to take the best quality pictures I can with the 36 exposures without actually seeing what it is, because it will not dump it into your camera roll until that 36 is done.
I like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably mentioned it either here on the Lensway, but I'd love to have the opportunity to do a photo walk where I stick a slice of gaffer's tape on the back of your camera so you can't see the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Every single person gets a 1 or 2 gigabyte card. You're allowed to take whatever, 20 pictures or 25, 36, whatever. And then we kind of hook up with a local printer to do it on the cheap. We go out to lunch and then we can go and pick up our 1 hour photos after and take a look at them. Nobody gets to look at the friggin' LCD until show's over. I would love to do that. That sounds like so much fun to me.
What's the app name again?
It's called 36 Exposure. It's 36 and then it was EXP.
It should be Roll of 36.
You know what? It might be.
What the hell? Who am I to tell them what to name their app?
Actually, I can't find it.
So
no, just type in 36.
All right. So anyway, this is Radio Gold right here. I'll move into my pick of the week, and my pick of the week is sort of a duplicate. back home from Cancun, I had this picture. And, you know, Instagram's wonderful. You can only put a square picture up. And so whatever. We've all figured out ways to deal with that, or you get some ugly black bars. I had a picture of sunrise next to one of the lifeguard shacks, and I didn't want it to be square. And I didn't want to do one of the other ways, you know, where it's just around a white thing. I got this idea that I wanted to do it with a drop shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And so me being the knucklehead that I am, and I'd like to actually say that I'm, you know, the creative that I am, I started putting to work all the apps that I had to create a drop shadow, you know. And so I went through and did a whole bunch of stuff with everything I had. You know, I ended up in Image Blender, and I was trying to create a unique drop shadow using the picture itself and have it be like a translucent kind of shadow of itself and blah blah blah. Anyway, the bottom line is I did it and it came out looking decent, but then I said, you know, why don't you just see if there's another app out there that has a decent opportunity to do drop shadow.
Right.
What I did was I bought the pro version of Square Ready, and I always said to myself, you don't need the stupid pro version of Square Ready, right? Why would you? Well, I bought it, and it's nice. It does a great job. First and foremost, it does a great job for the drop shadow, and it's got a whole bunch of other options that the other Square Ready doesn't have.
Really,
I believe it was $199, and you know, for what it is, it's worth it, and I enjoyed screwing around with it. And I mean, if nothing else, if all it does is give me a great way to do drop shadows, then that's fine with me too. But it's worth playing around with. It gives you some other options. Gives you some other effects that you can put onto it. So check it out anyway. Decide for yourself. I'm of the notion that if I'm going to get some use out of it, then it's worth $1.99. And I was happy with my purchase. So
nice.
Yeah. So that's it. Square Ready Pro is my pick of the week. Ah, damn it. It's my focus point.
Nice.
We don't do picks of the week here. We do focus points. So that's it, folks. We're going to knock it out, and thank you very much for tuning in. And next week, I will be away, and Matt will be back. And
oh, can I be? Can I be Keith?
You can be Keith next week.
No, actually, next week, I think I'll be Keith, and you can be me.
Oh, awesome!
A little role playing there.
I do intend on being here next week, and hope to see everybody else return with us next week. Make sure you head over to tinyshutter.com for links and information from today's show. You can't do it for last week's show just yet, but you can do it for today's show. always remember facebook.com/tinyshutter. Same thing with Twitter. And Joe, tell them where they can find you, buddy.
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira.
Mark?
You could find me on Instagram. Username is Lenswipe.
And I'm over there on Instagram as well, Keith_Tharp. Remember, this and all sorts of other information can be found at thetinyshutter.com. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Boom.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes.
Give us a five-star rating. I love the way he says that. Five-star rating.
Oh, Scott Fletcher. Finally had that voice.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you later. I'm going to bang out.
All right, no problem, man. You have a good night.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a five-star rating. See you next week.